Why don't you take a seat if you're here in the car park, and if you're at home and you are standing up and belting that out, then why don't you grab a seat as well? I'd love to invite Reuben to come up now, who's going to share this morning's reading with us. If you've got a Bible, why don't you grab it, turn to 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 to 21. The words aren't going to appear on the screen at home for you this morning. That's my fault, blame me. But Reuben's going to come and read to us now, and then after that, Tim is going to come and present this morning's talk to us, continuing our theme on the summer of love.
God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love.
Thank you very much, Reuben. Thank you very much. It's great to see everybody here. For those of you at home, my name's Tim, one of the team here, and it's a privilege this morning to be able to share God's word with you today as we continue our Summer of Love. I've been trying to practice a sort of Barry White version of the Summer of Love, you know, not musically, but just how he might say it. But if any of you can help me out with saying the word love in a little bit more of a... what's the word? I'm struggling with words this morning, but you know what I mean. So we'll take your contributions later for a summer of love. Love. I haven't quite got it. Last week we talked about God's love and the importance of the coming of Jesus into our world as the expression of God's ultimate love towards us, and how that love continues to fill us through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. But today I want to talk about fear. And I don't know, what are you afraid of? I mean, if you've got somebody near you, or maybe you're afraid of somebody being near you, but if you just tell them, what are you afraid of? What are you fearful of? Just a quick thing. Come on, there must be something that you're fearful of. Because I've never met anyone who isn't afraid of something. Now, you would imagine that Bear Grylls wouldn't be afraid of anything, would you? If you've ever seen anything of Bear Grylls, I mean, he eats maggots, he jumps out of aircraft, he climbs sheer cliff faces without any means of support as well. But, interestingly, this is what Bear Grylls is afraid of. He's afraid of cocktail parties full of strangers. Now, who would have believed that Bear Grylls was afraid of cocktail parties full of strangers? But apparently he says that is what he is afraid of. So he can do unarmed combat with anything, but not with a canapé. That's the only struggle that he clearly has. Now, some of our fears may be rational, of course. You know, well, they're rational because we're fearful of them, aren't they? And some of our fears may be irrational because, you know, what other people are afraid of. I mean, that's just irrational, what other people are afraid of that I'm not afraid of. But whatever it is, you know, we all encounter fear at some point, or we should encounter fear at certain times. Now, fears, in my experience with people, is people are afraid of clowns. People are afraid of spiders. I've even met someone who's afraid of buttons. That's amazing, isn't it? But anybody else afraid of buttons? Maybe. Oh, another person. That's two people then. Heights, bungee jumping. Maybe COVID has increased your fears. Maybe you've found yourself becoming more fearful as a result of the pandemic that we've been through recently. And maybe you've had to confront some of those fears. Maybe you've discovered fears that you never ever thought you had until this particular year has panned out. Or maybe there are new fears that have suddenly appeared in your life. And even with the easing of lockdown, you're not quite sure how you're going to manage some of those fears. What I know is that if you were fearful of candles on birthday cakes being blown out by someone who had a cold, and then the cake being cut and given to you for you to eat, your worst fears have now been proved right. It's right to fear those sorts of things, and I think many of us will fear them into the future. But maybe you've had an experience of fear that has strangled you, that has stifled you, has actually stopped you in your tracks. And you know the frustrations of those sorts of fears, whatever they are, that they actually fear stops us and prevents us maybe from fulfilling some of the hopes and dreams that we have. Now, of course, fear can be a good thing, can't it? I mean, we're designed to fear certain things. You know, fear creates a response in us of either fight it or flight, so run away from it, or freeze, or face it, or what about faith? How does faith respond to fear? What is the response of faith when it comes to some of the fears that I feel, or maybe the fears I'm feeling right now? And perhaps fear has stopped you finding a way forward, maybe finding God's way forward for your life. Maybe you've been in a tough situation or you're in one at the moment and you just don't know how you're going to manage or get through it. Or maybe fear has stopped you taking hold of some opportunities that were presented to you in your life before. Maybe there was something and you look back now and you think it was fear that stopped me taking that particular step. So how can we deal with fear? How can we ensure that perhaps it doesn't stifle a relationship with God? It doesn't stop us doing what God is asking us to do or living in the way that he asks us to live. Now, last week we thought about the cry of the world, which was, I want to know what love is. And John, in his letter in 1 John chapter 4, 9, gave us the answer. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. If you want to know love, then it's found in Jesus. It's found in God's plans and purposes for us to find life and to live in him. So if you missed last week's, do catch up with that. But today my question is really, how do I overcome my fears? How can I overcome the things that stop me in my tracks, the things that scare me, the things that cause me to, if you like, just close in on myself instead of taking hold of what God wants? Well, I think John has the answer for us again. In 1 John chapter 4, 18, from the passage that was read to us, John says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. So if you want to know the answer to how I can overcome my fear, then there it is. John provides us with this incredible answer that is so relevant still today. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. So how did John discover that? How did John get to a point in his own relationship with God, through his interaction with Jesus, how did he get to a point of being able to write that incredible sentence with such confidence? Well, I think there's a story in the Gospels, in the stories of Jesus, that helps us to understand how he got to that point. You'll find it in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. It's the story of the calming of the storm. It's a story that many of you'll know. If not, then please grab a Bible and have a read of it. But here it is in summary, really. Jesus had spent the day teaching. The crowds were still there, and evening came. And Jesus said to his disciples, to those who were following him, let us go over to the other side. It's a very simple request. Let us go over to the other side. It's a simple request, especially when you remember that many of his followers, many of his closest friends were fishermen after all. I mean, they'd spent a lifetime growing up around that particular lake. I mean, they were young men, a lot of these guys, but they were used to the lake. They were used to going in the boat. They were used to fishing. And on that day, it must have looked very calm. I mean, John, particularly, who wrote that incredible line for us about not fearing anything, he was a fisherman when he was called. He was very familiar. But on that day, in that particular boat, on that lake there, something happened that caused these young men to fear. Storms did come up quickly. They knew that the storms would come. They would have been through many storms on that lake before. But Mark in his gospel says, a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. And so what did these experienced fishermen do? They went and asked a carpenter what they should do. They woke Jesus up and they said to him, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. You can imagine the fear, you can hear it, can't you? Even in those simple words, the fear that they had to go and wake him up. A particularly bad storm, or did they just freeze in that moment? Or they'd forgotten to use their skills to overcome what was happening. But they stopped doing what they knew they could do in the storm, and they went to Jesus. Why did the storm stop them from believing that they could manage it? What was it about that day that caused them to be so fearful? Maybe that's happened in your life. Maybe something's happened, and maybe a situation that you've managed perfectly well before, suddenly it becomes a storm in your life and you're paralyzed by it. You don't know what to do now. And it leaves you shaken. It leaves you unsure. It leaves you in a place that you'd rather not be in, with all those fears, with all those physical responses that fear often brings to us. We've stopped believing that there's a way out of this particular storm for some reason. It's happened and we can't see our way through. This one is beating you, even though you've been so resilient about many things in the past. But here's the difference in this particular story. Jesus was in the boat. I love that Mark just puts this little detail in his account. He says, Jesus was sleeping on a cushion. I've often wondered, where did the cushion come from? Was it his personal cushion he carried around with him all the time? You know, like kids often have a little security blanket, you know, and he carried his cushion just as a bit of comfort, and he took it on the boat, or was that it? Or I don't know, but anyway, that's nothing to do with this particular sermon, but maybe if you've got an answer, you can help me with that one. But it seems clear he went on the boat in order to sleep. There was no fear that Jesus had in that moment. And that's what he did. He may have been exhausted, of course, from a day of teaching. He may have been completely at peace. Maybe he was just confident in these fishermen that he'd called. He knew they were going to make it. But their fears woke him up. No wonder he decided to walk on the water next time rather than get in the boat and sail across with them. But Jesus got up. He didn't calm the disciples. He didn't say, oh, it's going to be okay. He got up and he calmed the storm that day. He deals with what is causing their fear and he puts it in perspective. They were looking for someone to care about them. They said, don't you care about us? Don't you see how frightened we are? Well, Jesus was looking for people who would believe in him, who would trust him in that storm. Because that's what counts when fears come our way. And we need to pause and say, so what do I believe about Jesus when this storm is happening? What do I believe about him? Is trusting him enough to cast out all our fears? Maybe when you look back in your life, maybe there have been times when you have stopped trusting him. When the source of salvation is in the boat all the time, when the storm comes, he is with us anyway. But we get distracted by what's causing our fear instead of who will calm our fears. And John writes that perfect love drives out fear. It may not change the situation around us, but it drives out that sense of helplessness and hopelessness. Jesus is perfect love. He doesn't say fears won't come. He says that I'll be there with you. You see, what fear does is fear limits us, doesn't it? But love inspires us. Love inspires us to take the next step. It takes us out of that place of being frozen in order to say, well, God, I'm going to trust you. Jesus, I'm going to walk with you the next step. Because fear is born in the past. It's born out of what has happened to us. And so because what has happened, we fear it might happen again. Or fear grows in the future. What might happen to me? Oh, what might go on in my life? But actually, fear gets dealt with in the present. What is happening and who might help me through it? I think we all know that fears establish boundaries in our lives, don't they? They establish the borders of our freedom. Yet if we're fearful of heights, we'll stay low on the ground. If we're fearful of large spaces, we'll stay at home in a small space. If we're fearful of people, we'll stay away from them. If we're fearful of the dark, we'll leave the lights on. If we're fearful of storms, we'll stay on the shore. You see, fear limits our freedom. But Jesus showed his followers that day, there is no true freedom until we conquer our fears, until we look to him, perfect love, that drives out fear, that brings us true freedom. In John chapter 1 John chapter 4, 17, he says, in this world we are like Jesus. Did you catch that phrase? In this world we're like Jesus. What does that mean? I mean, how could I possibly be like Jesus? Well, I'm like Jesus in that I have the same standing as Jesus has with the Father. I'm invited into the Father's presence. I'm never alone. In this world, I'm like Jesus in that respect. We don't even need to fear the day of judgment, John writes in his letter. So even in the storm, when we confront perfect love, then it has the effect of driving that fear away from us. God is love, John writes. And perfect love drives out fear. So don't let fear stop you from embracing salvation itself, embracing Jesus. But how did John know how to write all this stuff? How did he know that perfect love would drive out fear? How did he know that? Well, because he experienced it for himself. Perfect love stooped down and washed his feet. Perfect love said to him, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." He heard perfect love telling him that, and so he took it into his heart. That's why John is able to write that perfect love drives out all fear. He witnessed it. He witnessed it when the risen Jesus walked into the room that day, that locked room when they were all afraid, and the risen Jesus said, "Peace be with you." That's how John knows that perfect love drives out all fear. And in that room, he heard Jesus take his last breath. At the cross, he heard Jesus take his last breath. And then in that locked room, Jesus breathed again and said to him, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Perfect love, driving out all fear for the future. You're not alone. I am with you. So what does that look like for each of our lives? What are the implications of believing that perfect love drives out all fear? What does that mean for me now, in this moment, for whatever it is I'm fearful of, the things that are stifling me or stopping me? What does that look like for me today? And what could change if I receive perfect love and encounter Jesus again? As we move on with COVID, hopefully out of COVID, what new fears do you need to confront and wrestle with? What storms are raging that are squeezing life out of you today? What opportunities are passing you by because you're afraid? The Bible talks a lot about fear, but it also has this phrase many, many times. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. And God uses priests and kings and angels to declare that truth to each of us today. Not only to hear it, but to believe it and to live it out. Perfect love, complete, that sort of it is finished on the cross type of love, perfect love, paid in full so that we can be free. He's in the boat. Perhaps it's time to trust him and to wake him up. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, John hears Jesus say to him whilst he's on the floor, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead and now look, I am alive forever and ever. Do not be afraid. I am with you. Trust him." Let's pray together this morning. Perhaps today you're on the floor like John was and you're feeling paralyzed and you need to hear what he has to say to you today as he says to you, "Do not be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead and now look, I am alive forever and ever." And he reaches down and he's holding out his hand for you to take. And he wants to lift you up and help you to stand again. His perfect love will drive out your fear. Or perhaps this morning you're going through a storm and it is raging and you've managed storms before, but today it just feels like it's overwhelming you. Well, whatever the storm, call on him and you can discover who he is, the calmer of storms, the source of salvation itself, the one who brings freedom and wholeness and healing to you today. Or maybe today you just need some of that perfect love. And he pours out that love into your heart today through the presence of his Holy Spirit. And that's the perfect love that will keep you standing strong, will drive out fear, and will enable you to live the sort of life that he came to bring you, life in all its fullness. Come, Holy Spirit. Remind us and renew us, refresh us, help us to know, Jesus, that you are there for us, that perfect love really does drive out fear. And I pray that will be true in our lives today, in each of our lives, that we might trust you because of your love, your perfect love for each of us. In your name, amen.